To die on a cross seems to me like an almost unimaginably bad fate. Something from out of a nightmare. But the reality is that perception is an outgrowth of a fairly sheltered and safe life. To die on a cross is not something outrageous or some alien turn of events, but it's something that perhaps is actually relatable, depending on one's life circumstance. Many theologians and thinkers helpfully connect the cross and Jesus' experiences of it with other forms of violence, both present day and historical. Things like lynching, police brutality, the death penalty, domestic violence, etc. These theologians present a useful train of thought by reminding us that Jesus' suffering is not unheard of suffering, unlike anything anyone else has ever known, that it's not an unimaginable nightmare, but something all too common. Jesus' suffering is with and for those who are victimized by similar acts. Just as the crucifixion connects to victims of violence today, I think it also connects with another all too common experience, being subject to mockery, insults, and derision. In a commentary on this passage, a Presbyterian pastor, Katie Givens Keim, describes Jesus as being dealt a double death, referring both to his execution and his humiliation. The Gospel of Luke emphasizes that he's made fun of, turned into a joke, and challenged about identities that are essential to who the church has understood Jesus to be, King and Messiah. Of course, not everyone participates in this mockery, but it's enough people that I'm sure it stung. After all, we proclaim that Jesus is both fully human and fully God. Being able to be hurt by the way that others perceive us and talk about us is very human. In our own lives, perhaps we have heard similar voices ready to jeer us, undermine us, mock us, voices that seem to rejoice in our suffering. Sometimes those voices even target the things about us that are most essential to who we are and understand ourselves to be. Now, sometimes those voices are external, ranging from strangers to those who are very close to us. But sometimes it's our own voice that's trying to cut us down, though perhaps it's echoing something we've once heard from others. Whatever the case, I would guess it is pretty rare to get through life without, on occasion, hearing or thinking something pretty devastating about yourself. Of course, it's probably important at this point to make a distinction between mockery and actual constructive critique. Sometimes someone has a hard-to-hear truth about us or how we've been behaving that opens a door for transformation and for growth. Or sometimes we might come to such a realization on our own. Perhaps a question to help distinguish between these things is asking whether that voice really means to lead you into something better, or if it's only delighting in your pain. With that caveat out of the way, I want to turn back to mockery. When it is mockery, when it is mean-spirited voices, how do we respond? Is there anything for us to learn from the way that Jesus behaves in today's text? Some folks use Jesus on the cross as a reason that people need to put up with all sorts of abuse, as a reason to not make use of the resources and options available for fuller and healthier lives. But I think there must be some other way to look at what happens here. We can't necessarily treat a passage about the crucifixion like we would an advice column. But through it, we can better understand Jesus' character. Character that we are meant to emulate and that the Holy Spirit is transforming us towards. For me, Jesus' character becomes clearer when I think about the passage in light of today's particular celebration, Christ the King Sunday. Today, we're invited to think about what the kingship of Jesus really means. I don't know about you, but my stereotype of kings, maybe from Game of Thrones, is that they don't take so kindly to being mocked. Many people, when they're granted the type of power that a royal has, will squash anyone who mocks them, afraid that their power will be lost or compromised if others witness disrespect that goes unpunished. But Jesus does not use power to control or silence or punish others. Jesus knows his kind of power is not threatened by the words of others or even the violent action of others. His power just is. It's fact. Deep, deep, elemental core to all of life and creation kind of fact. Of course, that doesn't mean violent words and acts don't hurt Jesus. He does die there on that cross. But the resurrection reveals that his power is greater, that the truth of who he is greater. In our own lives, are we aware of those truths about ourselves that are deep facts, deep elemental core facts? While our feelings may get hurt, may even be crushed, the power of who we are and who God has made us to be cannot be eradicated by mockery, whether it's from the slights of others or our own negative self-talk. Who we are is a creation of God. Who we are together is God's own people. Who we are is loved. Who we are is forgiven. Who we are is redeemed and reconciled to God. Thinking about these deep truths of who we are led me to the sacrament of baptism. During a baptism, we tell someone that they are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever, and that they are received into the household of God. More than anything else, these become the defining traits of who that baptized person is. There are stories that reformer Martin Luther would shout at the devil, "I am baptized," in order that the devil might leave him alone. There is power in the identity that baptism declares. There is power in the identity that is reinforced when we worship together, coming forward for bread and wine, body and blood of Jesus. As it says in Rite 1 of our Book of Common Prayer, through the act of Eucharist, we are assured of God's favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members and corporate in the mystical body of God's Son, the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of God's everlasting kingdom. The kind of power I'm talking about is more meaningful than the power to lash out at those who hurt us. It is a more secure power than the kind that has to preserve the reputation or comfort of the one who holds it. This is the kind of power that defines the kingship of Jesus and guides his action on the cross. Unfortunately, it is not the kind of power that saves anyone from pain, but it is a power that doesn't let pain have the final word. Today is also our in-gathering Sunday, a day where many of you will turn in pledge cards, committing to support this community for the next year. It's a day when all of us get to think about how we can contribute to our lives together. And following worship, we'll head into our Feast of Grace potluck, a celebration of this community and what God accomplishes through it. In the midst of all that, I think it's appropriate to reflect on the different functions of this community. One function, I hope, is that we serve as a place where all can get reconnected with and reminded of the power of God that lives within them. To varying degrees, many of us might be battling with mocking voices from ourselves or the world, saying we're not good enough, that we fall short, that we're worthless until we reach a certain threshold of success. Straight A's, the right job or promotion, progress in changing the world, a picture-perfect family, etc. With your presence in this community, you have the opportunity to be a different kind of voice in someone else's life. You can be a voice that tells someone, you belong to God, and we belong to each other. And you have the opportunity to tune into God's voice for yourself through the love offered by community and through our worship together, to hear about a God who is stronger than any insult that could come your way and who sees you with a love and mercy so different than the perspective of any mocker. What I haven't gotten to yet in today's gospel is the fact that Jesus himself gets to hear a different kind of voice after all that mocking. A voice that affirms who he knows himself to be. This man has done nothing wrong. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. We don't hear Jesus talk back to the mocking shouts of leaders and soldiers. We don't hear him respond to the insults of the other person being crucified next to him. Earlier in the passage, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And really, what more can he say? He does not try to convince or cajole them away from mean-spirited taunts. He does not control them or try to, but instead turns his heart towards forgiveness and his communication towards God the Father. When it comes to direct response, in this crucifixion account, it only happens with this man, to whom he says, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." In the midst of crucifixion, we have a moment of connection, of recognition, and of hope. This man sees who Jesus is and honors it. And Jesus honors him in return with assurance that they will be in paradise together. When you're overwhelmed in your own life, drowning in negativity, do you listen for that alternative voice? The voice that is perhaps outnumbered, but that speaks to the truth of who you are and who God has called you to be. I hope you hear that voice in this place. And I hope that you can be that voice in this place for someone else. Being rooted in who we are and how God sees us is perhaps the only way to even near the kind of forgiveness for others that Jesus displays on the cross. Because when we are rooted, we might recognize that those who try to cut us down will never be as powerful as the one who lifts us up and forgives us of all our wrongdoings. Church of England priest and poet Malcolm Guite has a poem about this passage which begins like this. "Father, forgive. And so forgiveness flows, flows from the very wound our hatred makes, flows through the taunts, the curses, and the blows." That last phrase is what stands out to me. Flows through the taunts, the curses, and the blows. So the next time the taunts, curses, and blows seem to be coming your way, remember what still can flow through it. Remember that Jesus streams love, outpours forgiveness, remains merciful, remains God through it all. The next time taunts, curses, and blows seem to be coming your way, remember that you remain God's child, wildly loved, and that you too can continue in a love that is louder than any mocking voice ever could be. Amen.